So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all our fans excited, and our sponsors. Yeah. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
And we're off once again. Tall Can Sports on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. At Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Bonus shit at patreon.com.
/Tall Can Audio.
What's up, man?
You know.
Yeah. Rumble, fumble, open. What do you got?
Let's see. What do I have? Now, this is the Waterloo Dark, my friend.
Oh, that's a good beer.
It's been a go-to lately.
Yeah.
Usually I like to stock the my portion of the studio fridge. leading up to it and had a nice little big rig, the Black Lager, Release the Hounds.
Yeah. I know you're a big fan of that one.
Little Alpha Bomb by Big Rig as well.
Bomb.
Which I also don't mind having in bottles. When I want to ease or smooth out the show.
Right.
Bottle of Tank House.
Yeah, it's a good call too.
Those are my sort of lately in-studio go-tos.
Okay.
What about you? What are you drinking over there? Thank you for asking, Rob. Tee it up.
I'm enjoying the Black Coal Stout from the Railway Sitting. Fuck you, illiterate prick. It's not even illiterate.
Fat-tongued is actually what it is.
The Black Coal Stout from the Railway City Brewery in St. Thomas, Ontario, that you located here in the nation's capital. I have for quite some time looked around in Ottawa and it hadn't yet made its way up here. It is likely a good sign for them that they're starting to branch out and be found a little further across the province. So you stopped in today with that. I was most appreciative. I had to get all the way to, I think, Pickering before. That was as far east as they were just like 4, 5, 6 months
ago. Canada, ladies and gentlemen, much closer. Don't go to Pickering.
Still too far west. But.
Yeah, I know. That's three buses, man. I'm not getting way out there. Forget about it.
I'll just drink whatever's in the fridge.
Or maybe tap open that nice little keg fridge you got going on there.
It's been an excellent addition.
Yeah. And it's so hard to complain about.
For sure.
I don't have exactly what I want, but I have that. I don't care if it's...
And I don't not want it.
Cool carbonated urine that's in there. Whatever.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We had a couple things to wrap up as we're just a couple of days removed.
But before we do that... I was sort of kicking around, and this is just off the cuff, and it has really nothing to do with anything else, okay. Which is kind of what I bring to the show.
Sure.
HockeyReference.com.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get there?
Yep.
Kick it around. It's what?
I like it. It's good, but it's normally like my second or third stop.
Right. Yeah. And I find it sometimes unwieldy. It's not
There's
always
a lot to
sift through.
Yeah.
Right. I was actually looking for something. I didn't find it. Or at least I didn't have time to waste on filtering and all these different things they want me to do.
Yeah.
I came across most games played for one team.
Okay. Gordie Howe.
Yeah. All right. So look at you. You're going to hop right into the reindeer games. I like that.
I didn't know what else we might be doing here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that is where we're at.
Yeah.
Right? I wanted you to take a stab. See, whatever you...
Fat-tongued prick.
Whatever you have is totally contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a stab at top five.
Steve Yzerman.
So number one, ladies and gentlemen, Gordie Howe. 1,687 games for the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
Your second guess of Steve Yzerman Well, we'd have to scroll all the way down to number six for Steve Yzerman.
Okay.
Who played 1,514.
Okay.
So we have, quick math, four guys in between 1514 and 1687.
Joe Sakic.
How interesting. Joe Sakic. G.O. No.
Oh.
No. Joe Sakic is at number 11 at 1378.
Okay.
Okay. How about if I told you the top three guys were all Detroit Red Wings?
Nick Lidstrom.
Nick Lidstrom, number two, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
1564. You're not going to get the third one.
Ted Lindsay.
Same generation.
Alex Delvecchio.
Alex Delvecchio, ladies and gentlemen. Give that guy a hoagie.
Please.
Yes. Number four. Okay. You can take a stab at this. Just retired. Maybe a year ago. There was some talk he was going to play last year.
Jerome McGinley?
Not Jerome McGinley.
No,
the other guy.
He bounced around too much at the end. Oh, Shane Doan.
Shane Doan, ladies and gentlemen. That is true.
Okay.
Anyways, it's interesting.
One of these things is not like the rest.
The first current player we come across at number seven, who has played, and he's no longer with this team, but he played 1,493 games with his original team.
Patrick Marleau.
Patrick Marleau. Matt, you, my friend.
I'm doing all right on this one.
Move to the front of the class.
Sweet.
Yes. Anyways, it fairly quickly drops down. If you look, there's a goalie on here at number 15. Martin Brodeur.
Yeah, okay.
Since
he played like 80 games a year.
Well, it's true. It's true. But number 24, number 25... you have Alfredson and Chris Phillips, right? Both in that sort of 1,100 range.
Yeah.
Chris Neal is on this list. and really...
Well, everyone is, if you want to scroll down far enough.
Well, no. We get down to... I think there's...
There's Matt Sundin.
I don't know. Yeah. Not here.
In the 70s or 80s.
Yeah. Really, Dustin Brown at 38 is the next current guy.
Okay.
Right, and that's sort of in that 1,000 game range, right? It just drops.
He probably needs to wind it down pretty soon. Had that little resurgence last year that was really Anze Kopitar's resurgence.
See, there's Ovi at 1043, but that's Duncan Keith, right? You sort of get into that range now.
A lot of guys around 1,000, and yeah.
Right.
Maybe start to piece out.
To me, it's interesting that in the history of the game, we've now gone down to, 50. Just how few guys play in one spot.
Yeah. Well, even you start to think about some of the best in the world or that you do associate. Like Jerome McGinley ends up playing for five teams. He's always a Flame, but there's Boston and
Colorado,
Los Angeles. LA. Yeah. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, that was sad, really, how that whole thing ended for him.
You know, whether you think of Wayne as an Oiler or
I think it was
a
St. Louis Blue.
Yeah,
to be honest with
a Blue or a Ranger later on. I brought a trivia question a year or so ago on naming all, 11 or 10 of Yager's teams that you just don't think about, right? He's spending time in Dallas and New Jersey and
Philadelphia.
Yeah, like what the
New
fuck?
Jersey?
Omsk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't?
Wherever the fuck
Come
was.
Come on. You and Bette Midler.
In Omsk?
Yeah, of course, Matt.
Me and Bette Midler, I'm falling a little bit on that.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry about it.
From Milan to Minsk.
Yeah. This is where I was going.
From Milan
to Omsk?
Yeah, close enough. Anyway, it's a rare thing these days that anybody, like you said, even Patrick Marleau on that list, that guy was a Shark forever, and everyone just assumed he would be. And then all of a sudden, he's a UFA.
I actually thought he retired before he showed up in Toronto.
And all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, guess I'll head over here, see if I can win something. Very Ray Bourque. What was Ray Bourque's number? Is he on there somewhere?
Yeah, he's at number 4, number 5.
Oh, okay. Well, we must have tailed off before we got there. We got 4 and 6, okay. But yeah.
If he's not, then he was right in that.
Yeah. And then again, I'm heading out to Colorado.
Wherever Yzerman was. So Ray Bourque was number 5.
Okay.
Shane Doan, and then Bourque, then Yzerman.
Right.
Yeah. So Bourque played 1,518 games for your Boston Bruins.
And it's just weird. Like, if you did that now, like Steve Yzerman was still playing now. He was at like 39 years old and hadn't won a cup yet.
He's going to go with Iggy and Ray Bourque.
I'm going to Columbus for a year because they got a good shot at winning this.
Of course.
Okay.
Stupid.
Stupid. As we, can I digress back to?
Whatever you had planned, I'm not sure. I'm here for a bit longer. What do you got?
All right. We saw the, I don't know how many of you paid attention to it after Canada was punted out of the World Juniors. I told myself I probably wouldn't watch much. But at the end of the day, I did end up, I didn't see, I watched a bit of the Finland-Switzerland semi. I watched a little bit of that. But by the time I turned it on, it was well over. And I PVR'd some of the gold medal game. Didn't watch any of the bronze. But it wasn't without its storylines. The gold medal game, first of all, turned out to be a hell of a hockey game between the Finns and the Americans. The Finns win their 3rd in 6 years. After Finland beat Canada, Eli Tolvanen was interviewed and kind of said, no one thought we could do it, and, you know, for our country, or whatever. And you kind of go, you're always in it. Like, you're in the mix now. You don't get to keep playing that undercard. Like 3 and 6, man. No one else is doing that these days.
Yeah. They are a small nation of 7.5 million people, I think.
Five and a half million people.
They are
a little smaller than the GTA.
They are hockey crazy.
Yep.
That nation.
Yeah.
Right. They are to me, and really, I am a Canadian hockey fan first and
get
foremost.
Get out of here.
But to me, the Finns on their hybrid size ice play a tenacious style of game. I always enjoy what the Finns bring. They bring a nice blend of skill and grit. I like the Finnish game.
For a long time, grit, right? It was Saku Koivu and Jiri Lehtinen.
Esa Tiikkanen.
Yeah, but on that top line with Koivu and Lehtinen was Solani. And he was going to have to be the game breaker. Because the rest of that lineup looked a lot like Koivu and Lehtinen, right? They didn't bring a ton of skill and snipers, but they were real tough players, real good two-way players.
Yari Kurri says, blow me.
I'm saying they weren't loaded down with them all the time. You look now, if we did an NHL Olympics with Aho and Laine, right, and you start to add in your Eli Tolvanens, who's going to be great, like they're putting out more skill than maybe they have in a long time.
Yeah. And as I said, though, to me, it's a blend. They've got a nice thing going there, right? And they've become, you know, post-Waugh, Brodeur, and that heyday, they've become the goalie factory.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still as much of a... It was for a while. But you saw a lot of, you know, Pekka Rinne.
Kiprusov.
Yeah, I don't know if we're still doing that. It seems to be more Swedish goalies now than...
Yeah, well, they're everywhere. But yeah, true.
all right. The thing that was most noteworthy to me, and I was kind of going over my notes with you before we fired this up, was Clem Kostin of the Russian team. They lose their semifinal to Team USA. And in the post game, he's upset, he's crying, and he goes and he pitches his watch that you get. Because if you lose in the semi, you're obviously not going to play in the gold medal. They hand out like your tournament MVPs and all kinds of shit like that. So he got a watch and he kind of pitched it to somebody, not quite into the crowd like the Elias Anderson did last year. And then the crowd started booing him for doing it. And you can see clear as day on the video him mouthing, fuck you, at the like just giving it back to them. And he's just a mess, right? So the next day.
And crying.
The next day.
Hard to do anything manly when you're crying.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
the
it's
next
okay to
day,
cry, people. It's okay to cry, but Don't try and be macho when you're doing it.
He puts out a statement on his Twitter. I was very emotional. I apologize. I didn't mean to offend anyone. Does all the right things, right? And the first thing I thought of it was, I wish you hadn't done that. You're all fired up. Emotions are running high. Whatever, man. Like, it would be great if we could just stop forcing teenagers to apologize for being emotional in a big moment. So he goes ahead and he apologizes. The next game, in the bronze medal game, he is, oh, and maybe this is noteworthy, in that semifinal where Russia's playing USA, both teams get booed as they're coming onto the ice by grown men in yep. Vancouver.
Vancouver's been very good at that, booing.
Yeah, teenagers.
Yeah.
And they did it throughout the entire game.
For sure.
So in the bronze medal game, they're playing the Swiss. The Canadian crowd is solidly behind the Swiss and booing the Russians all the time, including this kid for his outburst the last time.
Sulky behavior.
He scores a goal, and everyone starts booing, and he is now, he gestures like he's covering both his ears, and he's just grinning at the crowd, right? Like, giving it back to them again.
Yep.
Which sort of undoes the apology you gave last time, but there's still a part of me that goes, good for you, man. Like, yep. There's some 42-year-old who's had four $12 beers sitting there booing you. Fuck that guy, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And then after the game, they win, they get their bronze medals. And now he, again, in an act of contrition, I guess, turns and salutes the crowd. And later on, thanks to the Canadian crowd for being so passionate. It was a bit of a fucking up and down couple of days for...
He's also the guy who took a run at Comtois.
Yep.
Earlier
on Russian television.
On Russian television, saying he must have been a clown in a previous. So
I great friends with, or loved Neymar, right? The kid from the World Cup that was diving all over the place.
Yep.
So he was burying Comtois too. He's got some personality to him.
And so clearly, yeah, what do you expect when you give an 18 or a 19-year-old guy that platform? Shit's gonna rage out of control.
Yep.
Right, you're going to be the highs and the lows and the I'm taking shots and we're celebrating that and then we're vilifying you when shit goes out of control. It's amazing.
I would have dropped the written apology.
Okay, but as we've talked about before, we don't know what the Federation,
sure,
the pressure that they've come to, and at his age, he still doesn't know what's out there and available to him. There may be a long NHL career for him.
Oh, it looks like it. I think he's a Blues pick.
Right, but maybe there isn't, and he's got to ply his trade in the KHL under the eye of Russian hockey.
Sure.
And they've said to him, hey, we don't like that shit you're doing. Stop that.
Right.
You're gonna apologize. And, you know, if he is Ovechkin or Panarin or Kucherov, he's saying, yeah.
Peace.
Fucking take a big suck on the big hog.
I'm going to go play with Tarasenko here and I'll be just fine for the next however.
And this is it. And so we don't care about what you say, but right now you're still on that. I agree. I agree. As somebody who's done a bunch of things, that's maybe almost got him thrown out of tournaments and told he couldn't play in a bunch of different stuff.
Kids hockey games.
You know? World championships, these sort of small things. People say, yeah, if you don't do that, you don't play. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about that thing I did back there.
But not really.
Yeah, but not really. Yeah, for sure. And the smile on my face at the same time says it. But again, so I get that. Really, it's the on ice. It's the personality that's showing through. So written apologies 24 hours later.
Yeah.
Take them for what they're worth. Nothing.
But you know what I did dig? Like, let's assume all of this still does happen, right? He pitches the watch. He doesn't care about that. He says, fuck you to the crowd when they're booing him. And he gives the big hand over the ears in the next game when he scores and they're all booing him. Drop for me, and I understand everything you're saying. Drop the written apology. The salute to the crowd at the end is kind of, to me, that's still, all right, it's over, right? Like, this was fun. Thanks for the hospitality. Whatever, right? Like, I got no... To me, that was sort of... That's the written apology, or that's the...
That is the making good.
Yeah. We're good here, right?
And it's funny because that, to me, speaks volumes because I'm not sure I'm the same.
Right.
I'm not sure I'm feeling that way if I'm him.
Right.
And I'm playing in Russia, right? I think I'm saying, yeah, fuck you still.
Yeah.
whatever, you fat hog. I'm going to the NHL and you're going to still work at wherever you're doing at the 7-Eleven.
Right.
You can boo me and my greatness. You suck. You have hot dog stains on your jersey right now.
Where does this, all this considered, we broke down the Canada thing quite a bit last week. That's all, you know, it is what it is. Do you think this is a memorable World Junior for Canadians? It did turn out to be a hell of a gold medal game.
I didn't get a look at the attendance stats post-Canada dropout.
It did pretty well still. The buildings looked pretty good.
Okay, and that's what they were saying, listening to some of the radio talk, that they were saying, yeah, well, the tickets are all sold, so they don't really care.
Right.
But
it still looks like shit if it's an empty house.
No, and again, I didn't watch either the semis. And for parts of the gold medal game, it was a bit of a snooze.
Right.
I was telling you off air, 1-0 Finland. I tuned in for most of the third. At 2-0 Finland.
Right.
I said, psh,
over.
I'm hitting the showers.
Oh, but not.
Well, I came back out and I got out of the shower.
2 goals in a minute and 1.
It's 2-2. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Christ. Now I'm in for the long haul. Although not really, because. But yeah, so I tuned back in to watch them score. Kakko.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as soon as the Finns started celebrating, click. I'm happy with that.
Yeah. To me, this is a, I don't know, still something, and maybe it's just because it's fresh. I'm sure that's part of it. But to me, this is an interesting world. There was lots of years where Canada doesn't win and it just all blends. And you're like, ah, whatever. I think there was enough storyline here that this remains a memorable World Junior as we kind of move forward. I don't think it has anything to do with Canada, but I do think you'll remember that gold medal game. I do think you'll remember Clem Costin. I do, you know, these sorts of.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I meant to bring it up on a previous show when we were breaking down the Canada game, and you've now touched on it again with the booing. I found it distasteful on the New Year's Eve game, right? The Russians are coming out first.
Yep.
And they were booed soundly.
Yep.
At that point. And I don't know. I don't feel good about that.
Well, we touched on it, as you said, previously, and I brought up that you had given me shit for being too soft on that. Now, maybe you're softening in your old age, that I won't boo teenagers when I would go see the Gens or whatever. I'll cheer like hell for my, but like, it does nothing for me to sit there and boo a 17-year-old or.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not sure I've softened on it. Now, I'm sure, like Donald Trump, you can maybe find some footage somewhere where I've said differently. I have a huge distaste for watching 2 17-year-olds fight at junior hockey. I have no interest in it at all. And that has changed over the last bunch of years.
But like, did you really show up to a semifinal USA versus Russia just to boo both teams? Like, what are you doing? I understand there are two biggest international rivals, but
I think Vancouver hockey
known
fans
for being
are,
a little salty.
Well, I think they're wankers.
Okay.
I'm not sure what our listenership is in the greater Vancouver area.
It's less right now than it was a minute ago.
Really? Because I think we've taken some pretty hard runs.
If Edmonton's still hanging with us, I think Vancouver's probably still here.
Well,
we'll get to you a little later
on.
Edmonton.
I only hated on the Edmonton guys when, you know.
Their teams.
They had a nice big, long playoff run to the second round. And acted like.
You're right. It is more me who takes like the hard runs at Edmonton.
Like the huge legacy that they have of greatness, which means we won 25 years ago. Good for you guys.
So, legacy of this World Junior.
Failure.
Failure. For Canada or for the event?
Oh, no. I think the event is a huge success for Hockey Canada and the IIHF, right? I think they love it. They love it as long as this big cash cow just keeps churning it through. It's
Edmonton Red Deer in 2 years. That's
yeah,
well, the next
we'll
time
see what Ostrava or wherever
Ostrava
it is.
Ostrava is hosting in the
Czech Republic next year.
You know what? For a lot of reasons, when we do it here, the crowds are awesome. The prime time thing is awesome. There's something kind of cool when it is in Europe and you get up and the first games are already on and, you know, Canada's going to play around noon or something like. I don't know. There's something kind of fun about that,
I
too.
I love it. Right? I think back to into the 90s, and they were in Prague or Vienna.
Geneva.
And it was a young Joe Thornton, right? And he's saying he's wearing a toque. They're interviewing him outside, and you know, and he's saying, "Yeah, we went to see a glass blower today, and we, you know, we're just sort of hanging out." Yeah, I don't know, man. That's just take it.
That's
for
our second St. Thomas
mention
of the show.
So, but it, I love it when it's in Europe.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, and I think when it goes back there, it becomes more of what the tournament's about.
Because we've done a bit of a run here, right? We did Vancouver, and then Buffalo might as well have been ours, and then Toronto before that. So,
and then back to Buffalo again. It was like Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo was back in 11 the next
time. Okay, but still, in the last 7 years, you've been to Buffalo
twice.
Yeah, there
was a Russia. And
you've been to Toronto and Montreal twice.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's a bit much.
It's a bit much, man.
Yeah.
Local radio guys here in Ottawa taking a hard run at Ottawa 2023.
Yeah. Well... Maybe.
Okay.
Well,
I think it was $1,000 for a pair of seats.
It'll be six times that.
Okay. In the upper 300s, like the last row of the 300s.
Yeah.
When it was here in 09, $1,000. I guarantee you those same seats are going to cost $2,000.
At least. At least.
That is too much.
Yep.
For me.
Yep.
And if it's too much for me...
Rob's a fat cat.
No. But really, in terms of, man, you're talking about, that's a heavy outlay of cash.
Oh, for sure it is, man.
For your average.
And like you say, you're up high in the, you know, it's not even like the corporate seats that you're hoping get bought up. Like,
right.
That's a lot for just a guy who wants to. And you know what? This is maybe more... where I start to sympathize with Sens fans, right? Like, let's say I got $2,000 to throw down for that. I want to go to every Canada game, but do I really want to roll out there on a random Thursday in a snowstorm to see...
Czech Germany?
Right. That are, you know, there is... Canada has off days, and so it's Czech Germany and, you know, maybe Finland, Switzerland or something. If that was here in town, I'm there. It seems like a long way to go for the non-Canada. I'm probably hung over from Canada last night.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. And I like the Ottawa idea better than the split thing that we've done a bunch of times where you have a big rink and a small rink, right? I think that works better. And I do think if as we move forward, it should be more that way. Toronto and Mississauga, Montreal and Dorval, right?
Like I think if they were to do it here... And
don't say Kingston. Like, don't.
I'm not going to. At this point, it's still just talk.
Yeah.
Although the mayor has said he's behind it.
Of course he is.
There'll be a brand new arena in Gatineau.
Yeah, okay.
That'll hold about 45, six grand.
Yeah.
So we do it right across the river.
Yeah. But no more of this, you know, a few hours apart and split cities and whatever.
Well,
I'm over that.
Well, see, Vancouver, Victoria.
I think there's probably a long list before Ottawa gets it again.
Who?
Calgary, Winnipeg to start.
Well, but see, in between Ottawa last time, you
Calgary,
had it in
Edmonton,
Calgary, Edmonton.
Split it.
Yeah, right. And I'm not sure what the Ottawa bias is because...
What do you mean?
Up until...
For me?
Yeah.
It's not a bias. It's, I think...
Well, and up until...
With this man, if it was here, I would love that.
No, I know, but I'm saying... The attendance record was held here until it went to Edmonton, Calgary.
Right.
So it's not like it wasn't supported
no,
here.
No, I don't think that's the reason. I just think that there's probably, I think they would probably like to
go back to
Halifax first.
Okay.
And I know maybe that's smaller than they want to be
it
now.
It is smaller than what they want to be.
Quebec City could do it with Videotron Center.
Yep. And I got time for your Winnipeg, which I don't think has had it since 99.
Right.
Right, but I don't have time for Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, Winnipeg, maybe, but...
Quebec City.
Yeah, no, ditch to Halifax, put Quebec City in.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting that horny about the whole thing anyways, because I don't really
care. Yeah, I don't actually know how we ended up on
this. If it's going to be $2,000, I'm not buying the tickets anyways.
I don't care where it is, it's going to be on my TV.
Renny Fussell.
Yeah. Made some news coming out of the World Juniors talking about upcoming tournaments and how he would like to see at international events it start to move towards NHL-sized ice surfaces. Which is, now he was throwing it around in meters and that was losing
26
me a little.
Meters as opposed to your 30 meters.
Sure. We know it more as 85 by 200 is NHL ice. I think internationally it's 200 by 100.
Yep.
And that's the big ice you see.
Unless you're in Finland, then it's somewhere it's in between.
They slide it in and out all over. It was like 92 and it's... he made some comments and we will share the video to talk about if the NHL is coming to Beijing in 2022. Sorry, you normally have a thing there, so I was going to let you have it.
Good luck, Beijing!
All right. That he would insist or ask the organizers in China to make it NHL-sized ice. He also said that the World Championships in 2022 are in Finland and that they would host the event on NHL-sized ice, which, as Rob mentioned, they have a hybrid, but their main arena in Helsinki can fit all three. They do NHL-sized, and they do their middle hybrid, and then they do the big full, which has got to be interesting for seating and whatever else. But this has been a thing forever, and over here, people talk all the time because of the size of NHL players and this and that. Would the NHL be better off going to big ice? You and I have both said over and over, no. It's fascinating to see international bodies talking about coming this way and getting smaller. His statement or his theory was that the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, which they got special permission to play on small ice, was awesome, which it was. These World Juniors were awesome. He referenced that the women's game makes more sense on small ice, which is probably true. Most of those athletes are smaller, but I don't know how big of a difference it would really make for them versus the men. But it was an interesting point. I didn't see this coming at all. And it's basically outside North America and a couple of little pockets around Europe. They're all big Olympic size ice surfaces. And if this is something that the IIHF is going to start to move towards, it's a lot of changes.
Well, and he did say that they are encouraging all new builds in Europe to go with the ability to move in and out.
Right.
Right. He mentioned that. To me, it's almost like he's got the
whole world in his hands.
Well, and he's got, you know, Bettman leaning on him, right, in the NHL.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, we want you at the Beijing Games. We want this to happen. We want to do all this. Because he's saying, the Vancouver Games, he kept talking about the Vancouver Games and how great they were.
Yep.
And then he's saying, and Sochi, which is on the big ice, was really great too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
No, it was extremely low scoring, low event hockey.
And that is international hockey.
Yep. It's a chess match. It's soccer.
They talk, it's for sure it is. It's that whole old USSR model of being very tactical, pull back, attack, pull back, you know,
the
sort
of rush like you do on the
Canadian
small ice, the where
sort
you just
of
go.
Chip and chase and forecheck and crash and bang. And the game has changed to a hybrid of both. But yeah, he sort of talked out of both sides of his mouth there. But the reality is we all look at the bigger ice and go, okay, skill and speed, and you go better on the ice, but really the game becomes slower on the big ice.
There's too much room.
All the shit outside the dots does not matter, right?
It really if you're defending well on big ice, they'll let you sit outside and all, because all the extra room is out wide, right? It doesn't change shit in front of the net or the face-off
circles.
Between
those dots, that's it.
So they'll just let you sit out there, and you have too much room to do it. And so there's too much shit outside. The NHL size ice forces you to play, to come, right, to move. And I'm just surprised. I did not think we would be talking this week about the head of the IIHF saying, we're going to change everything to go this way.
Well, and I'm surprised only in the fact that he kept talking about the growth of the game and the younger players, right? And he talked about Pettersson, right, the Canucks.
Yeah.
And he started mentioning a bunch of names. Then his third on his list, I think, was he said Pettersson and Laine, and then the McDavid.
Yeah. Third on the list.
Yeah. which is okay. Whatever.
Yeah, clearly he's throwing out big names. And...
Right, and he's saying, but you're talking about these first two guys who've played and have developed on bigger ice surfaces.
Yeah.
So it's odd a bit to me that these are examples you're going to use, how they're thriving on the smaller ice.
Well, and I wonder if that's more his point, right? Like, they can do both. They've come over here and look possible. How exciting they are on the smaller ice. And
that they're not dependent on the bigger ice surface.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying. The game has never been safer, which is also...
odd.
Well, and interesting, right? As the North American game, which is clearly where he's looking at, saying, best league in the world in North America. You know, this is where the best players play. We have 170 players come to world championships every year from the NHL, and it doesn't seem to be a huge deal. But so what's your argument? I'm not sure. If 170 guys who play on the small ice surface go to Worlds in Paris and Berlin or wherever they were, they're on the bigger ice surface, and it doesn't seem to matter. Which is it, right? Like he just kept making points for both.
Well, so let's bring it closer to home. Does it matter to you? If we're going to do the Olympic thing, if we're going to do the Worlds thing, is it fun for you to watch the Canadians and the Americans try to adapt and just because it's a novelty, see a different game? Or would you rather see it be uniform across all levels? And
well, I would rather see it be uniform. I like the smaller ice surface game.
Yeah.
Even now with less contact, and I think there's never been less contact than there is right now, it's still a faster game in a smaller area.
Yeah.
So to me, because the game isn't that classic North American / Canadian game where it is intimidation and hitting and you guys aren't used to the body contact and we're going to smoke you, the game has gone away from that to a total skill-based game. It's still better on the smaller ice surface, even if you take that intimidation away.
Yeah. Do you think Gary cares?
Gary doesn't care.
That's my thing, too. This is not an enticement to look. The NHL and the NHLPA are going to decide whether or not they're going to the Olympics. The big ice has never stopped them before. I'll grant you that the games in Turin and in
what was it played on in Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City, I believe it was big ice. I believe it was big ice because they had to get special permission in 2010 to use.
I heard him say that, but I thought Salt Lake City was small ice.
I'm not going to argue on it because my opinion's not. I'm not married to it. I seem to recall it being...
I was just going to say, I am also not married to it.
But, you know, the tournaments in Turin and in Sochi were not as good as the tournament in Vancouver, but maybe that was just a time and place, right? Maybe that was the level of competition across these countries. It was a fantastic tournament. But Gary isn't sitting there going, it's the big ice, that's why we're not going. So if they change it now, maybe it helps a little, but I... can't imagine this.
Right. And where I'm going with this is when they lost in Torino, right? And they lost and you go...
well, Nagano.
Yeah. And you go, big ice.
Yep.
Big ice, right? North American rink in 02, 2010. That's why it was such a big deal in 2014. Again, not married to it. And they just be pulling that right out of my...
yeah.
Took us, as you like to say.
It's interesting, and I didn't think we would be, you know, kicking this around this week, but to me it was big news when he said it because...
and I think it's better. I do.
I do too. I think that I'd like to see it uniform, but I'd like to see it our uniform, right? And
yeah.
If we're do you have any time?
If we're going to make it uniform...
let's do it my way.
Let's do it the way I like it. Thank you.
Just before we move off this, do you have any time for what the Finns were trying to do? You mentioned... in Hartnell Arena in Helsinki, their standard is 100 by 92. So to break that down for everybody once more, NHL ice is 100 feet long, 85 wide. International ice or Olympic ice...
200.
Is 200 long by 85 in the NHL and junior rinks in Canada. In the Olympics, it's 200 long, 100 wide. Hartnell in Helsinki, and I think they have a couple of them, that are kind of hybrid, and they go 100 by 92. So you're splitting the different 200 by 92. Fuck.
Hartwell
Arena. Sorry, you're right. So it's 200 by 92. So they're splitting the difference. I haven't watched a ton of hockey on it. I've seen some world championships games there and stuff like that. Is it worth looking at? Or is it just, no, let's go full 200 by 85?
And it's hard because to me it makes a bit of sense.
Because the players have never been bigger either, right?
Okay, like, but that was what they were saying in the 90s and the early 2000s.
And they are smaller again now.
They are never been, I would say, since,
some
the,
are smaller,
since
but,
the 60s.
But that's still, there's a lot of more big guys than there used to be too, right?
They're all playing goal.
Yeah, there is something to that.
It's
interesting.
I agree. After just spending the last 5 minutes talking about how 85 is better than 100.
Yeah.
That maybe that would be the way to go. But I think the game now has gone more to a little smaller and a little quicker. Or at least a skating game, right?
It's true.
No matter how you look at it. And so I think we have moved away from the size-based selections of the 90s and the early 2000s.
Far less size queens.
Yep. Well,
some of us.
Yes. We're hoping that continues to trend in a bunch of other directions, too, because it's helping the two guys out at this table.
Oh, all right.
Oh, sorry, Matt. Sorry, I just threw
That's
you.
About right.
I threw you right in there with me.
I get it.
Yeah.
We had a couple of, I don't know, the Oilers made a couple of moves a week or so ago. None of them earth-shattering. They bring in Brandon Manning. They bring in Alex Petrovic.
Connor McDavid's pen pal.
Yes. For those who don't recall, Brandon Manning is the guy that, A, first broke Connor McDavid's collarbone, and then a year later said he did it on purpose. I'm sure that was shit-talking on the ice, but...
Teammates!
They're now teammates. I'm told. My sources.
Sources say.
Yeah, I read that they cleared this with McDavid and he was fine with it. But to me, it's like, why'd you do it, right? Like, he's not a...
Why?
Yeah.
Is this your best Nancy Kerrigan?
No.
No.
Why even ask him to be okay with this, right? He's not a game-breaking defenseman. He's not a game-changer. Just move along. You didn't need this guy that bad.
Unless you could get him cheap.
This all circles back to Pete Chiarelli essentially being told by management, or the press being told, that if he makes the playoffs, he'll be back next year. What goes unsaid then is, but if he doesn't...
You're out!
So all of a sudden, that guy's focus becomes, I better get in this year and fuck the future. And I don't want to lose my mind on these deals, because he didn't start trading away all kinds of draft picks and all kinds of... But that's a terrible position to put anyone in, because how does their focus become anything but right now?
Yeah. Like, you look at, no matter what you think of how they handled it in Philadelphia, they have at least put it in the hands of a new GM. We're not happy with the direction this team
That's
is.
Right.
We think we should be doing better. You're out, Hextall.
I think they're wrong.
Okay, for sure.
But
you're giving a new GM.
Punted that guy in. Yeah.
Saying, we need a new idea. We need a new path.
That's
it's
right.
You, right? Not have. Look at Ottawa here. Again, I don't like Pierre Dorion. I don't think he is a good GM. I think he's, you know, to the whim. And maybe it's just that he's doing the bidding of the owner.
Yep.
Whatever it is, you've given him a 3-year extension.
Oh, really?
Last year, yeah. He's now in the first year, I think, of three years.
Oh, no.
So, but like it or love it, hate it, whatever it is.
Sure.
He's your guy.
Yep.
This is the guy who's making the decisions. If he sucks...
Yep.
Well, he's got, I as the ownership, I'm standing behind him. Yeah. In Chiarelli's case, yeah, that's not happening.
No.
You're allowing him to essentially spend wildly and hey, if that doesn't work, well, guess what? That's somebody else's problem. And this is a guy, and I don't need to sell this to you because you've been beating the drum for a long time, right? Who was fucking fired in Boston for some questionable trades and mismanagement of that franchise?
Yep.
Ends up in Edmonton, and you go, well, let us count the ways that we have buggered the system here. Well,
we've talked before about Pete Chiarelli versus a potato, right? In terms of which would have done more damage had they been running the franchise. And the potato frequently comes out as, hey, no one's asking the potato to make any move. Just don't just don't touch it. Just don't do that. Right. And there it goes.
Yeah. Well, I was kicking around looking through some stuff and we've touched on them all, right? That
Joe,
if you did nothing, right. And you kept that in the same draft as the McDavid draft, I believe. You kept that 16 and that 33 pick.
You mean the Griffin Reinhart pick?
Yes. Right. I don't know what the 33 was, but Barzal was the 16 pick.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you had McDavid and Barzal?
And still Hall and Eberle.
And this is it. And the Eberle for Strome. You go, okay, we've taken in, we've got Strome is half the money. But he's less than half the production as well.
And then you trade Strome for Spooner. And then Chiarelli admits in the press conference after these other – he tried to deal Spooner and no one wants him. That's
– yeah. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. He saved a pile of money trading Eberle out and Hall.
Was able to give it to Lucic.
Yeah, Lucic and your buddy Russell.
Russell.
So there you go. Don't worry.
Russell.
He saved a little money, but he spent it super wisely.
So you're right. I think Pete Chiarelli is terrible. But now Pete Chiarelli has been put in a terrible situation. And the guys that Pete Chiarelli replaced are still there. They work in management. They're assistant presidents. They're... McTavish is still
Vice
there.
President
and Lowe
of
is still there. And Wayne is back, who's never shown that he was any good in management. And then Wayne gets to bring in coffee because they like hanging out after games. And this is as high up as
Sweet Downtown Arena, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Bringing in Bob Nicholson. And I thought that was a great hire, but apparently he's as happy as Daryl Cates to just hang out with the management type or the 80s Oilers, right? That. The old boys club, man. It's
back of the bus.
Brutal. You and I have gone back and forth a couple of times, and I don't even remember if this made air the last time we were talking about Mitch Marner and his potential new contract and what it's going to be worth. The comparison to Kucherov. Two shows ago, we
Inflation.
Talked about Nylander, and you know we were playing audio from Kiprios that said Marner would never fit, and all these sorts of things. Apparently, you've done some research or done some thinking, or you're taking umbrage with some of it.
No. Research.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I got 6 minutes on the shitter every morning to read as much as I can.
Yeah, exactly. No. You sent me a couple of tweets about the most expensive winger in NHL history.
Yes.
And 10.5 million, which was who?
Patrick Kane.
Okay.
His third contract.
Right. And then you talked about Kucherov and his third contract. And
getting 9.5 or 9.
Yeah. Yep. And then saying there's no way Marner's going to make $13
million. 12 to 13, that's right.
Okay. I never said he was going to make $13 million. Here's the deal. I think the emphasis in those tweets is on what Kucherov has made and what Kane has made. Am I right with that?
Yes.
And it being...
He's pointing out Kane is the richest one ever and Kucherov is the most recent comparable. I think those are how you want to separate.
And 100 points, right, was dropped in there, right?
Yep.
That Kucherov was a 100-point guy.
Yep.
Do you think anybody feels like Kucherov is, air quotes, fairly paid?
Yeah.
Really?
You think $9 million for a winger is underpaying that guy?
If you look at the point scoring last year and this year right now, yeah.
Whether you like it or not, wingers get less than centers.
I totally get that. $4 million less?
$4 million less than who?
Okay. $3 million less than Connor McDavid.
Yeah, that's what that for sure. Connor McDavid is the one who's underpaid, not Nikita Kucherov.
Okay, 3.5. If it's 9 or 9.5, you think he is worth 25% more than Kucherov?
Yes, I do.
Look at the scoring.
I don't care about that. I care.
What
about
do you care about?
I care about the fact that he's a center and he's by far the best player in the league. And if we're being real, he's underpaid. Connor McDavid is underpaid.
Okay, let's just look at this. So then, by that same math, what's Austin Matthews get paid this year?
He's probably getting, I would imagine he's getting 12.5. He's getting the McDavid deal, but without the inflation, because he's not as good as McDavid.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would also say that, yeah, he's definitely...
So he's going to get 12.5, so he can say, I got that number, but with the inflation of the cap or cap percentage, however you want to look at that, it's not actually as...
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for that guy to say, I want more than McDavid.
And really, after all this bluster that we're talking about, I'm certainly not suggesting Mitch Marner is going to get $12 million.
I would hope not.
Well, you would hope not.
I would hope you're not saying that.
Right. And you would hope that doesn't happen.
Yes, I would.
Yes. And that's all I'm saying is he gets more than Kucherov. I'm telling you that right now.
What is your stance? And I think we've got a good handle on it. On your second deal versus your third deal.
Well, see, this comes down to it again.
Because he has no rights.
How does Austin Matthews in his second deal get 12.5?
Because he's the franchise guy. He's the center. That's what McDavid did.
It's strictly on a center versus winger basis then.
I think it's a franchise player.
Second deal.
Yeah.
So you can't use the second deal. It's got to be the center.
No, because we're comparing him with Connor McDavid. If we agree that Mitch Marner...
Who's been the most valuable player to that team this year?
That's really tough.
Answer the question.
On a points per 60, on a games played, Austin Matthews. But Austin Matthews has missed 14 games, and so Mitch Marner absolutely carried the team through that.
I'd say, how'd they do in that 14 games?
Well above 500, and Mitch Marner had more than a point per game.
All I'm saying is Marner does not get Matthews money, and I'll give you the center. I'll give you all that.
You're not giving me nothing. I'm taking it.
To me, it's not the difference that you suggest it is, and you hope it is through Leaf blue goggles.
Find me the winger who has ever, on his second contract, been compensated like the league's top-end centers, like Jack Eichel, like Sidney Crosby, like Connor McDavid.
I'm saying Matthews gets more money.
Yeah.
But guess what? If Mitch Marner puts up 100-plus points this year...
Looks like he will.
Bitch better have my money.
And I do think he's going to jump the traditional second contract. But the reason those numbers get held down is because you have no leverage. You're an RFA. You can't do anything but sit, and those years don't accrue. Let's say he wants to do the Nylander thing and sit out. It doesn't matter. The Leafs still own him for just as long.
Right.
So maybe they bridge him. Like, maybe that would be the best thing for Mitch Marner to say, I want a four-year deal, and I want it at... 8 or whatever he can get at that point, because it is less because you're not buying UFA years. And then he comes up again at his UFA point or just before it, and now the Leafs are fucked. Now you have to give him, but you were going to do it anyway, right? Like, yeah. That's the third deal. Wingers just don't get what centers do coming out of entry level. They have no leverage. They have no control.
And this is, I'm agreeing with you. He's not getting the McDavid money, the Austin Matthews money. I get it. But to me, you can't use second contract.
Why?
Because it just doesn't work. Guys are getting paid way more out of entry level centers now than ever. Just centers.
Yes. Okay. Look around. Find me the winger who on his second deal got what Eichel got or McDavid got or Matt.
I don't have those right at my finger right at this moment.
That's because they don't exist.
Okay. Well, we can only
To find out with Laine. He's going to be the guy. He's going to skip that second.
See, I'm paying Marner more than Laine.
Well, we can have that debate, but I think Laine is about to become the first, and with Marner, because I do think Marner's not.
Where do you see Marner's number?
Ooh, man. It's going to be in the Kucherov neighborhood. I do think Kucherov bet on himself, right? Like, we always talk about Subban, right? Who... He asked, I think, for like 7 from the Habs, and they said no. We'll gave him for 2 years, they gave him 4.
I was going to say, we'll give you 3.5.
Yeah, something stupid. He came out of that with a Norris trophy and said, yeah, now my number's 9. So
Thank you. The
fucking risk, right?
Yep.
Maybe that's the better road for Marner.
Yeah, and all I'm saying here is, and I find myself getting heated about something, it really doesn't matter. To me, he's going to get paid more than Kucherov. I'll be surprised if it's not 9.5. And that's it. It's the inflation, because again, all Leaf fans look at the cap going up, and they gleefully point to that and say, "Yep, that's good." But we don't really want to pay anybody the inflation that cap represents.
I really, really, really think you should have read the article I sent you last night before. And we'll share it at Talk In Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/talk. The Leafs are not in cap trouble. They're just not. And
okay, then there's no way you get around paying that guy his money.
No. We're going to have to pay him his money. But coming out of your rookie deal, wingers don't get what centers get.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's nothing
so
in this
Kucherov,
conversation.
You're saying he's going to get more than Kucherov. And that might happen. But Kucherov took the second deal to make sure at $4.5 or $5 million at a much shorter contract to say, I'm going to show you and then you're going to pay me. And maybe Marner should do that. I don't think he will, because I think he's going to get a big number. And it's going to be higher than I want it to be. But it's not going to be this, oh my God, he ended up with 10.5 or whatever. He's not getting the Patrick Kane deal coming out of entry level. Just doesn't happen. When you're an RFA, you have no leverage.
Right. Yeah, well, we'll see.
We will.
We'll see, because to me, and again, it comes back to the second deal.
Yep.
I think that becomes less and less.
Right? For sure it is.
It used to be we'd have our foot on your bag until you were a UFA.
More and more teams want the long-term deal. I want that. There's been talk around here that Austin Matthews may say, just a 5-year, please. We'll see where the cap is in 5 years. I'm not taking 8 right now. And that goes against everything that you used to take all the certainty you could, right? Yeah. As long as you could. But he may look at this now and go, I'll take my 12.5 for 5 years. And in 5 years, I might be worth 15.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'll see you when I'm 26.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of get what, if he takes the 8-year deal now, that's going to take him to 30. If he does 5 years, he gets to do what Tavares did, what Stamkos did, and cash in again at 27 when you still got a couple prime years left and do what we always talk about, right? Get somebody to pay way too much for those back years.
Well, that'll be interesting, because maybe it's the Arizona Coyotes who are telling him, you know what, we'll give you.
I'm sure they
15.5.
And all their money will be lining up to offer sheet the Leafs. That's the team that'll do it for sure.
Love it.
We'll wind this one down, I think. Anything else you want to fight about first? Or?
Nope, that's all I got, man.
All right, me too. We'll wind this one down. That's Talk and Sports. And we will... I should probably tease some shit. Or promote some shit at Talk and Audio on Twitter.
Do you want to win a boat?
Oh, or a mystery box. Mystery box could be anything. Could even be a boat. Facebook.com/Talk and Audio. At Talk and Audio on Twitter. We'll see you all on the next one.
See ya.
The wrong fucking sound effect.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year.